got his way. But when the light of God filled that place, they all dropped to their knees. Jesus grabbed Satan right by the throat and said, "Boy, give me those keys." God said, "Satan, give me those keys." And then he took his chains and wrapped it round his neck, showed him openly. He said,
good evening and welcome to 7x70. It's been another snowy day here at the Radio Ranch, but we thank you for joining us here. Let me get all the buttons pushed, and thank you again for joining us. It is, well, it's almost around the Ides of March. March, what, 14th today? Pi Day, 3.14. That's some number, if you, the more you look into that. Anyway, it is March 14th, 2024, coming to you live from 29 degrees outside. Probably got a foot of snow today, but it's warm enough that most of it melted. But we've got a good layer of ice now and snow on just about everything. You know, we're only about, well, let's start out with a word of prayer before we get too much further. But we'll have the phone lines open a little bit later tonight if you want to give a call. Well, Lord Jesus, thank you. Father, we come in the most holy and precious and mighty and powerful name of Jesus Christ, our friend, our judge, our lawgiver, our God, our Savior, Lord, Him who we follow and trust. We thank you for allowing us to be here to gather together, Lord, to fellowship with one another, to draw closer to you, Lord, in reading your word, and looking at current events and seeing, Lord, the your hand in these events that are going on. Lord, we thank you that there are people waking up, Lord, and coming out of the lies, Lord, of the world. And we thank you for that. Lord, I pray your blessings on this broadcast tonight. I pray your blessings on the remnant, Lord, those that have eyes to see and ears to hear and that desire truth, Lord, and seek truth and your word. Thank you, Lord. Bless your people. In Jesus' name, amen. And do have the phone lines open tonight, 307-745-5913. And be glad to take your call. So I was saying, yeah, the weather, it's we're having a good winter. It is good when this winter ends up wet. This is an early spring-like snowstorm that's rolled through Wyoming and Colorado and Nebraska and parts of Utah and bringing lots and lots of moisture, wet snow. And that is a good thing. They were forecasting 40 to 50, 60 mile an hour winds, but I don't think they developed, at least not here. Now, they could develop and blow some into some pretty big snow drifts. We've got some, 3-foot snow drifts around the barn. I'm looking at it. But, again, it's nothing too major. Now, we're about 10 miles from the mountains, and the mountains got about 2 feet of snow, and it came straight down, and we still have neighbors that are pretty much snowed in. They've got the road closed. The Wyoming DOT has the road closed. There were several tractor trailers slid off up there this morning, and so it's good. It's wintertime. And sometimes God reminds us that it's wintertime, and it's not July. It's not flip-flops and T-shirts and Bermuda short weather. And so, but it's good that our God brings this in its season. Well, a couple of current events caught my eye today. Was in the office finishing up some mail, we'll get onto some more mail tomorrow as well. But so if you've ordered anything, we are sure working on getting that done and getting it out. Kind of got behind last week. We can only do so much at a time, but we got the newsletter printed and out, mailed it Tuesday, and working on the online newsletter. Hopefully have it done maybe tomorrow afternoon. I hope so. Think you'll find that quite interesting. It's interesting times, you know, right here, the end of the solar year is coming up. If you look at the spring equinox, it's coming up. It's like the evening. I haven't got that figured out yet, how it can be 9 p.m. here. But it's put out that the equinox will be on March, I think it's the evening of the 19th. And so, that gives us, that's usually how it is. 17th, 18th are the 2023 solar year ending days. And so that kind of wraps that year up. And unlike our calendar year, the solar year, it just starts over every year. You get a leap year in it. Well, at the end of the year, you get an extra day. If you don't have a leap year at the end of the year, you don't. It just resets on the spring equinox. And that's day one. And so basically when we get the day on March 20th, that'll be day one. And 14 days later will be Passover. That's April 2nd on our Gregorian calendar. And I think that's a Tuesday. And so we'll plan on having a service from the church. Hope you can join us there. And we'll stream it out like we do the church service that we do on Sunday morning. So again, hope we can meet you there. Hope you can join us there for that. But it is. So it's the end of the year, beginning of a new year, Passover. And that's always an exciting time. Looking ahead just a couple of weeks. Passover, April 2nd. And we have this Nineveh event, as NASA calls it. This second full solar eclipse with its shadow marking the second half of a huge X right across this country. Now, it's interesting. I've mentioned that to a group of Judeo-Christian men, and they kind of, kind of looked the other way, you know, thinking, what's this kook talking about? Because we just love Jesus. We love Jesus. That was, you know, that's kind of the mentality there. And that's as far as it goes. And you got to love Jesus, and you have to obey him as well. I read in Jeremiah last night. Maybe I can find that again. And we can read it again. I think I highlighted it. I've got a little different Bible here. Yeah, here it is. We'll get to it in a little bit later. But anyway. And then I mentioned it to a believer. A guy believes in God, believes in Jesus, says he's, you know, a Christian. And he just looked at me like, you know, I was talking out of my ears. And I've realized, and I, as I, I think back to pastor's teachings around this message is on an urgent 11th hour message, and especially around that time, which has been, it's been 15, 18 years ago now. But there's so many that they are so, if they're in anything at all, they're just tied up with this Judeo-Christianity. They've heard that, you know, either that all these things have to happen first. Oh, the Antichrist has to show himself, and maybe it's the Pope, and maybe it's whoever, whatever. And then he arises, and everyone worships him. Maybe it's that E-man over there, that I-man or whatever, that, the Muslims, they've got their whatever that they're talking about. Oh, that he traces his genealogy back to the great one and blah, blah, blah. It's all false stuff. But all these religions, not Christianity, not true Christianity, but all these religions have this. And if they're not just, doing a rapture practice, I think that's Tuesday night that most of them do it, rapture practice. I've gotten into a few conversations with people about that. And I simply ask them, can you show me the scripture? I really want to look at it in the Bible. So can you show me the scripture for that? And it gets real quiet. I had one response that just said, it's in Revelation. Okay, well, there's a lot in Revelation, and I've read through the book of Revelation a few times, but I don't see anything in there about the rapture. And I had somebody else that said, well, you just need to look for it. It's all through the New Testament. Because, see, they're just repeating what they've heard, what little bit they've heard, and what little bit they care. When I see this country, a map of this country, with the shadows of the two solar eclipses, the one from 2017, remember, it was called the Great American Eclipse, because there'd never been, since America was formed in the 1700s, there had never been a full cross-country total solar eclipse across America only. So it was the Great America Eclipse. Hello? Hey, this is just for you, America. Nobody else got that. So here we get another one. 7 years later. You know, it's close to 7 years. If you do it exact, what was it, August 21st, 2017? Yeah, August 21st, 2017. And then it's coming up, what, April 8th? Is that right? April 8th? And if you crunch that into a date calculator, it's almost 7 years. It's 6 years, 6 months, 6 weeks, and 6 days between the solar eclipses. And I'll say what the Bible says, let him who has an ear hear. These are exciting times, folks. These are not times like 7 years ago when the first one came across. Now, it's been those 7 years. Now, it's not exactly like the 7 years that Joseph had, 7 years of plenty and then 7 years of bad, although the last 7 years have been pretty tough, haven't they? We think they have. But, you know, if the next 7 years are as bad as the seven bad years that Joseph and Egypt had, where people sold everything they had for food, and people were starving. So if our next 7 years are like that, and someone was writing about it in the future, looking back, you know, the last 7 years, they would say, hey, it was a little tough, but, you know, people had food, and they had money, and they had their clothes, and the electricity was on, and they weren't starving, and the crowds weren't rioting in the streets. At least not as much as in those bad 7 years. Who knows? I don't know. I'm not prophesying that. I'm just saying that there's just too many, not coincidences, but just too many things are lining up. Now, no, I don't think the end of the world's coming here on the 8th, but I think it is another, just like NASA calling this Nineveh event, this eclipse coming up on April 8th. The story of Nineveh in the Bible was what? A story of, it's the gospel story. Repent or perish. Repent or perish. It's just that simple. That was presented to Nineveh. And I think it's interesting that the Ninevites, you have to remember, the people of Nineveh, they were not Israelites. They were not Hebrew. They were Assyrians. They were the influences from the east that were warned about throughout the scripture. They worshiped the Ashtoreth, the false goddess Ashtoreth. And we worship her today in this nation, symbolized by the, whether it's the Kardashians or the Starbucks whore mermaid with her legs spread out. Oh, she's worshiped today, just like in the days of Nineveh. And then the other one is the false god Dagon, a man's upper body and a fish tail. We've come full circle, folks. We have become like those of the East. And God recognizes that. And he says, repent. I'm giving you another warning. You know, when you read back through the scriptures, that's how Jeremiah was. That's how Ezekiel was. That's how the prophets were. God sent prophet after prophet, even in the time of Gideon. Remember when you read in Judges, before the story of Gideon, it says that God sent prophets in the land, not just one, but probably for a generation or two, prophets in the land to warn the people. And some heard, and some, like Gideon's father, well, you know, we better just be like everybody else and have this, you know, we better be worshiping Baal like everybody else is. That was his attitude. And that's how we are today. We are in the time that the Bible warns us of, that the Bible says that women and children rule over us. And women and children rule in this land today. At least ruling over the white Christian male, for the most part. Whether they know it or not. I was talking with some men at our prayer breakfast, and the subject of child rearing and teaching children came up. And an older retired Christian that I respect very much made the comment that you know, even if it's just that little toddler. And he's there on the changing table, maybe not even a toddler, pre-toddler, and just squirming and wanting to jump off and all that stuff, and you can't hardly control him. He said, and now he hadn't had toddlers for 60 years, 65 years. He said, you know, how interesting it is just a little thump on the nose or the shoulder or the lip will get their attention, and it hurts, and it works toward stopping that unwanted behavior. And I told him, amen, brother, it does. But see, oh, we know better now. Oh, we know better. See, our children know better to raise their children than we knew to raise them. That's what you hear. That's just so yesterday. That's so old. That's, you know, studies have proven that, oh, that just doesn't. And I just call hogwash to all that. You train up a child in the way he should go. You spare the rod, you spoil the child. Guess what? In this nation, for the most part, we have spared the rod and spoiled the children. And we see it in the young children generation today. We see it in the 18 to 22, 24-year-olds today. We see it in many in the generation above that as well. The X, the Y, the millennials, the Gen Zers, all of them. Because we've moved away from the Word of God, the law of God, the way of God, the will of God, and we've replaced it with love Jesus. Accept Jesus into your heart. And that is, as the Bible says, it represents a form of godliness, but they deny the power. And that's what it is. So it's exciting times, folks. It is. I don't mean to ramble. Sorry if I am. Again, the phone lines are open, 307-745-5913. But it is exciting times. We are seeing Bible events, things that have happened, and Ecclesiastes tells us that. You know, things that were before are for after, and things that have happened will happen, and there's a time for all things, and this time is here. We are on the brink of world war. There are two major areas of fighting, the Ukraine and Russia, and in Hamas and the West Bank, or not Hamas, Gaza, Hamas fighting and the Israelis fighting in Gaza and the West Bank. And that certainly has the potential to grow into more of the Middle East and possibly into the Far East. And then the Far East, China has said that they are going to take Taiwan back and reunite with them. And that's what Russia is saying about Ukraine. Oh, we must take them back. They are us. They've always been part of us. And that's the same thing China says, and they're ready to do that. And so, we could wake up tomorrow and see it on Fox News that China has surrounded Taiwan and landed troops and cut their power and whatever. I wouldn't be surprised. This country is being absolutely invaded. I want to read in Jeremiah. I read it last night with Brother Paul toward the end of the Wednesday night prayer meeting. But I want to share it tonight. It's Jeremiah 44. And it's Jeremiah is coming out talking. It says in verse 20, it says, "Then Jeremiah said to all the people," to the men and women, even to all the people who were giving him such an answer, saying, and then he talks about their sacrifices and what they've done. And basically he tells them that what you've done, people, is not pleasing to God. It's an abomination to God. And I think that we have that again in this nation. When you have when you push and promote an anti-Christ Christian ethic, and you have churches that promote that. Oh, we are anti-Christ Christians. And that's what they are when they say they are Judeo, which denies Christ. Judaism, Judeo, denies Christ. The Judeo Messiah, they do not recognize the Messiah. Their Messiah hasn't come yet. Ours has. It's a spell that people are in. I encourage you, if you're not familiar with that, Pastor Peters has a great, there's a CD, one CD for it, and it's a pamphlet. It's called A Double-Minded People. If you're not familiar with it, if you're not familiar with this, people being in a spell by accepting that black is black and white is black and up is up and down is up and it by recognizing and accepting opposites, really, whether they recognize it or not. But taking it in, that it puts them in a spell and it renders them useless. And it's the same thing that Jeremiah is saying here. We read that in verse 20. In verse 21, he says, "As for the smoking sacrifices that you burned in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, you and your forefathers, your kings and your princes and the people of the land, did not the Lord remember them? And did not all this come into his mind?" Verse 22, "So the Lord was no longer able to endure it, because of the evil of your deeds, because of the abominations which you have committed. Thus your land has become a ruin, an object of horror, and a curse, as it is this day." I didn't write it, but it sure applies to today. Verse 23 says, "Because you have burned sacrifices." And those were not, that was not incense to God. That was to the Ashtoreth and to the false god Dagon and to Baal and to the other false gods of the land. He says, "Because you have burned sacrifices and have sinned against the Lord." This is the story for America's, that the Christians that call themselves Christians in America today. This is the word for them. Jeremiah 44. "You have sinned against the Lord. You have not obeyed the voice of the Lord or walked in his law, his statutes, or his testimonies. Therefore, this calamity has befallen you as it has this day." And look at this land today, this land that was founded on the Mayflower Compact that said to the glory of God and to further the Christian faith. To further the Christian faith. And 400 years later, we have laws in our states that allow parents to kill their children from the time of conception to after they are born. That's the law of the land. Don't you dare stop them from doing that. It's the law. And these two sodomites out here that bring the wrath of God down, that cause and do an abomination, that causes them to have the, what does it say, the penalty in their own body? Oh, let them do it. Let them do it on the state capitol steps, says Governor Polis down there, because he's one of them. It's the law. "We have not obeyed the voice of the Lord. We have not walked in his law." Because the Judeo-Christian dirty bird preachers say that law was done away with, brother. It was nailed to the cross. Jesus did it all. And Jesus himself said, "Don't think I came to abolish the law." So you can believe who you want to believe. As for me, I'll believe the red letters in this Bible, the words of Jesus Christ. That's what I'll believe. Okay? That's what I'll believe. And that, see, that's all we should ever do as teachers or preachers or any of that. That all they should do is point you to the Word. Don't believe what they say. Don't believe what I say. Brother Zach will tell you that. Don't believe what he says. See if that's what it says in the Word. That's what we're to do, is to encourage you, to motivate you to go look at that Word so you think about it. You think, who you going to believe? Who you going to believe? Well, halfway through the program tonight, folks. Phone lines are open, 307 745-5913. If you care to give a call. It's Matthew 5:17, if you want to take a look. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. And just because they're fulfilled does not mean they're done away with. He came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. So, you can take a look at that. If you care to. He says in Matthew 24:35, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. He is the way and the truth and the life. His word, his law, it doesn't change. It doesn't change. Matthew 5:17, talking about the law and the prophets, he says he doesn't put one against the other. He doesn't make one better than the other. You know, he says that he didn't come to tear down, to dismantle, to abolish or alter the law, which is the reference of the Old Testament, in any way. He didn't come to dismantle the law or the prophets. That's what he says. Now, you can believe him, but see, so many people, they just want to, they don't want to put in the effort. Because the word is true, and if you seek that truth, you'll find it. It's just that simple. Because we haven't, it says, this calamity has befallen you. Let me share a couple calamities with you. 12-year-old Travis Wolf of Missouri was hit in a crash. He died. His parents, they're seriously injured, Timothy and Stephanie Wolf. They were hit by in Hazelwood, Missouri, by a woman here illegally from Venezuela, driving without a license and on the wrong side of the road. She was driving 75 miles an hour in a 40 mile per hour zone. That's a calamity. That's a calamity. What if this little 12-year-old boy was yours? Would it be more of a calamity then? Do not tempt God. ICE, Information and Customs Enforcement officials told the news agency that the agency cannot comment on Braco's immigration history due to her privacy. Blah, blah, blah. How about the 5-time deported illegal alien in February, hitting and killing 10-year-old Alex A.J. Wise, little black boy in Midland, Texas. I remember that. He's walking home from school, and this drunk at 2:30 in the afternoon, this damn drunk illegal runs him down and just keeps on going. How about in 2023? 11-year-old Aiden Clark killed on his first day of school after an illegal alien from Haiti crashed into his school bus in Clark County, Ohio. See, you ain't going to get away from it. Whether you are in Texas, Midland, Texas ain't a big place, folks. Whether you're in Clark County, Ohio, whether you are in Missouri. Whether you, how about, I've had nieces just like Lakin Riley, going to school, trying to stay in shape, going to school to be a nurse. And that's a lot of hard work and money and effort that goes into that. Chasing the American dream. Trying to go to school to improve themselves. Putting forth the effort. Why? To serve. to help others. And these illegals kill them. And it's so evident that even dumb Joe Biden has to call them. Yeah, illegals. Yeah, illegals killed her. She was killed. Oh, I'm so sorry that Lincoln, he gets her name wrong. Then he goes on and says, you know, there's lots of people killed by illegals. I mean, he just, what an idiot. Therefore, this calamity has befallen you, America. You thought you had a stupid president in Obama. And God just laughs and says, you ain't seen nothing yet. It's like, hold my beer and watch this. And there's people out there that think our economy is better now than under Trump. How idiotic can you be? But see, they're blinded. They're blinded because they serve Dagon and Ashtoreth and Baal. And that government, they trust that whatever my government says is good to me. Yeah, I believe it. That's good. The fool has said in his heart there is no God, and that's how they are. So would you get a little excited? Would you get a little upset if it was your 12-year-old, Travis Wolf? If that was your 12-year-old son? If that was your 10-year-old Alex Wise in Midland, Texas? Or your 11-year-old Aiden Clark? Or what, 21, 22-year-old Lakin Riley? The other, I forget her name, forgive me, there was another young cheerleader. I don't see my notes here. I had it. In Texas, same thing, killed. It's lawlessness. Therefore, this calamity has befallen you because you have sinned against the Lord. You have not obeyed his voice. You have not walked in his law. You have not walked in his statutes or his testimonies. This word is what this nation was founded on. And the word says, if the foundations be destroyed, whoa, bad stuff. And that's what we're living today. This calamity, therefore, this is why these people have died. This is why we've been invaded. This is why we work and work and work and have less and less and less. And if you think you're beating that, you're wrong. Ain't nobody in this country getting out of it. Nobody. Turn back to Judges. We got time. Actually, before then, I saw this news article from I do not know him personally, but I went to junior high with this guy. Way down in Winter Haven, Florida. How about that? Junior high. That's been, ooh, long time ago. Okay. But his name is Michael Yon. He's a former Green Beret. And he was a war correspondent throughout the wars. And he's my age, so what's that, 58, I guess. And but he's got an article here, World News Debt, WND, I guess at World News Daily, whatever, carried it. And it talks about the Darien Gap. And that's the area between down in South America between Colombia and Panama. And it's been a path, literally a jungle path that, well, was about the straightest way. And so, you know, a few years ago, it says here there were maybe a few hundred migrants made the dangerous trek across the Darien Gap on a daily basis. Today, Michael Yon asserts, the UN, which is heavily funded by American taxpayers, as well as surrogate organizations such as the Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society, he says now, you know, what began as 200 to 300 people crossing this gap a day now is upwards of 3,000 a day. I like how he describes it. He says it was an ant trail at the time he visited it a few years ago. Now it's a main line of attack. They are building basically a highway through the jungle. And it's just one more. It's just one more. Anyway, the handwriting, folks, is on the wall. Now, whether you read it or not, whether you see it or not, well, you can choose to see it or choose not to. It is just that way. So we read in Jeremiah that warning. If we flip over to Judges, see, it ain't nobody's fault but our own. And it's because he said it. Why? Right? Jeremiah, what was it? Jeremiah 44. Because you didn't obey. It is that simple. You know, in Judges, you're finishing up. Joshua dies here in Judges 2. You know that timing. Joshua took Moses' place. Joshua leads the children into the promised land. Just a quick history. And then after Joshua dies, there's judges that come along. And basically the next generation raises up. And verse 10 of Judges 2 says, all that generation were gathered to their fathers, and there arose another generation after them who did not know the Lord, nor yet the work which he had done for Israel. So you read the rest of Judges 2 and Judges 3, and it's idolatry leads to servitude. And the sons of Israel, verse 7, did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, forgot the Lord their God, and served the Baals and the Ashtoreth. Then the anger of the Lord was kindled against them. He sold them into the hands of Cushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia. And the sons of Israel served Cushan-Rishathaim 8 years. And then you have a judge come online, and Ehud. And then in Judges 4, you've got Deborah and Barak deliver from the Canaanites. And Judges 5 is the song of that. And it's a praise. It is. And then you get to Judges 6, see, because it just comes back around. It's like every generation or two, it comes back around. In Judges 6, the sons of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord gave them into the hands of Midian 7 years. The power of Midian prevailed against Israel. And when you read through it, verse 7, it came about when the sons of Israel cried to the Lord on account of Midian, the Lord sent a prophet to the sons of Israel, and he told them, thus says the Lord, it was I who brought you out from the house of slavery. I delivered you from the hands of the Egyptians and from the hands of all your oppressors and dispossessed them before you and gave you their land. And I said, I am the Lord your God. You shall not fear the gods of the Amorites in whose land you live. But you have not obeyed me. He didn't tell them, you haven't believed in me. He didn't say, you haven't accepted me as your personal Savior. You haven't believed in me as God. No, he said, you haven't obeyed. You haven't done what I told you to do. And there ain't nothing new under the sun. And we are right back there where we were just after getting to the promised land. Just a couple generations after. We're right back there. And when you read on in Judges, I For some reason, I keep going back to this Judges and this Gideon thing that keeps popping into my mind. And Gideon wasn't, you have to remember, Gideon, he wasn't this big Rambo hero, super courageous, not afraid of anything. When you read the story, it's an encouraging story because Gideon doubted. Gideon was the least in his family. Gideon was the and his family was the least in the land, and Gideon was fearful at times. But he overcame that. See, he was an overcomer. He feared, but he saddled up anyway. That's called courage. And that's an example for us today. It is an example for us today. And we get back, you can get back to Nineveh, that Nineveh event that's coming. Here it comes. Here it comes. I encourage you to read Jonah. Doesn't take you long. I want to, you know, it's right after Joel. It's Joel and Amos. Just after the locusts of Joel. And then Amos. And Jonah. Yeah, it's only four chapters. We have to remember this eclipse, I believe that this eclipse is another sign. You know, eclipses, they are not caused by global warming. They're not caused by climate change. They are caused by God Almighty. And it gives us an opportunity to praise God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, to other people. It gives us an opportunity to not be ashamed, to praise him and thank him for sending these signs. This older man I told you was that I was talking to earlier this week. He when I mentioned this about the eclipse, you know, he said, "Hey, the Bible says that is one of the reasons God made the sun and the moon and the stars are for signs." Again, let him who has an ear hear. In Jonah 4, verse 11, God is talking to Jonah, rebuking him. You know, you're angry, Jonah. Why are you angry? Why are you angry? What the darnation do you have to be angry about? Verse 11. Right at the end of Jonah, God says, "Should I not have compassion on Nineveh, the great city in which there are more than 120,000 people who do not know the difference between their right and left hand?" Should I not have compassion on them? See, that shows God was going to wipe them out. He gave them the choice. Change your wicked ways or be destroyed. And when you read through history, I think two generations later, they were destroyed. But this generation lived and had children and prospered. But just like the Israelites, just like us, a generation or two later, boom, they're right back into it, and they were destroyed. Those then were. This upcoming eclipse, this Nineveh event, we talk about it in this Volume 3 newsletter that was mailed Tuesday. Today's Thursday, so that's 2 days. So I would start looking for it probably Monday, Monday's mail. We talk about this in there and kind of point it out, and hopefully it's a little ammunition, a little material that you can share with others that that you love and care about and want to help them to come to the truth of the gospel. And there was a great eclipse at the time of Jonah and Nineveh. But the story of Jonah and Nineveh is, again, a story that is symbolic of the gospel story. Repent or perish. Save yourselves, he says. Why will you die, O Israel? But he gives us that choice. To choose this day, life or death. And I think that's what this eclipse is. It is another opportunity. You know, NASA reports, I thought this was interesting, and I've shared it, that 99% of the people who live in the United States, who reside in the U.S., will be able to see the partial or the total eclipse. 99% of the people. See, there's another one of those. You can't make that up. God is putting it out there. It's not me or Jason or anybody here or calling it the Nineveh event. That's what NASA came up with. Well, it's, you know, it's going to cross 7-8 cities that are named Nineveh. Yeah, we'll call it the Nineveh event. You can't make this stuff up, folks. Okay? This is from God that says, should I not have compassion on those that don't know the difference between their left and their right? And those that don't know Christ, that have not obeyed the word, have not believed the word and been doers of the word and done what the word says in repenting and being baptized with Christ, dying with Christ, so that they can live with Christ. You can read that in Romans 6. Do you not know that all, Romans 6, 3, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? New Testament, folks, Romans 6. Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. You know, it doesn't say there that if we believe him and accept him as our personal Savior, that we'll get to go to heaven and be with him all day long. And for all eternity. That is not what the word says. The word says those of us that are baptized with him share in his death. What about those that aren't baptized with him? What about those? You figure it out. You figure it out. And help warn those that are of belief only. James 2, don't have time. Don't have time. I'm out of time tonight, but you can go to James 2 as well. Even the demons believe. You better do more than believe. Thanks, folks. I'm out of time. God bless you. Join us Saturday morning for Coffee with the Wrangler, Saturday morning, 7 a.m. Mountain, 8 a.m. Central, 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. on the West Coast. It's been good hearing from some of you West Coast people. God bless. We'll talk to you Saturday morning.